Welcome to Jessica Miles, the podcast, where each week we'll discuss my experiences as a professional spiritual medium, intuitive healer, and mentor. I'll be sharing what I've learned while developing as a psychic medium and facilitator of ancient healing modalities and much, much more. You were born with this innate ability to communicate and co-create with the unseen realms of the universe. This podcast is for those on a path of self-discovery and spiritual development, seeking grounded and practical tools to feel deeply rooted into spirit. I'm your host, Jessica Miles. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hello, everyone. I am really excited to announce that one of my dear friends and astrologers, Kristen Urlacher, is going to be making a monthly appearance on the pod to collaborate. She has come up with some fun techniques and tools and ways in which we can work with the sun signs through the zodiac. And so this month, we are focusing on Pisces season as we explore the 12 signs of the zodiac. What she shares here is that you are not just your planets, that you are your whole wheel. And over the course of the next 12 months, we will be following the sun's transit through each of the 12 signs of the zodiac, exploring not only the archetypal qualities of the signs, but also discuss the tangible tools that best capture and channel their energy. So she'll be talking about ways that we can create influence through our five senses. Today, we're talking about the magical correspondences, including stones, plants, and natural tokens. We're talking about astrological remediation and how to use the nature of the signs to remediate, strengthen, and balance your personal placements. I'm really excited to share this offering with you guys. I feel like this is a wonderful way to get to know your entire wheel and really access these parts that may feel a bit hidden. So you guys enjoy this episode. It is one that you will be able to revisit time and time again. And we will see you in a few weeks with Kristen as we prepare for Aries season. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back, Kristen. It's so exciting to have you here. I have been sort of just dangling the carrot with, you know, my people on email and in messages, and I dropped a little hint on yesterday's episode of the pod, just like, oh, we got a little surprise, something's building. And so I'm excited to have you here today. I'm excited for you to share this, I want to say offering and this collaboration. I'm so excited to have you just sharing all of your wisdom. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I am happy to be back. I wanted to take this time with you and with your listeners to maybe explore astrology in a way that may be new to them. It is a part of my practice that I have been exercising for about the past 4 years. I've been in this line of work in terms of the type of astrology that I'm going to be sharing with you all today. And I have found it to be an extremely powerful and an impactful exercise. So we are going to be talking about learning how to work with the cycles of the year, meaning following the sun's season through each of the signs. And as the sun transits these signs, we are going to step into the energy of Pisces, step into the energies of Aries. So this is a part of my practice that I've been doing for about the past 4 years, and I have found it to be an extremely useful and beneficial technique. It's like a form of planetary devotion and a form of planetary remediation, and it can be used as the sun moves through each individual sign of the zodiac. It gives you the opportunity to step into the nature of that sign, and if you're working with particular planets, you know, as a form of like, say, astrological magic, which is something that I do personally, you have to step into the nature of the planet as well. And as I've been doing that over the years, it has really helped me develop certain portions of myself that I felt were latent prior to this work. So I have found through working with clients that many people who come to astrology, they are seeking to learn deeper aspects of themselves. They are wanting to, you know, maybe work through some trauma or some pain, or they're trying to deprogram and work out of some of the conditioning that they've received over the years or through childhood, through parenting and whatnot. And so many people come to this work as a way of trying to learn, gain a deeper understanding of themselves. And through that process, astrology, while it's beautiful to do that work and why it's so beneficial to do that work, I find that oftentimes people begin to adhere to their astrology. So for example, if you are a person with a lot of energy in, say, Taurus or Leo, then you start to identify deeper and deeper with Taurus and Leo. And that in of itself starts to become a form of limitation. So the key to astrology is to understand that the natal chart is the placement of the planets in which you were born. And those planets are going to have certain influences over you and your nature. But it is not necessarily an identity or a form of identity. And instead, it's better to consider looking at the natal chart as like a hand you were dealt that you have to work with. So you don't want to step into pitfalls. You don't want to step into, you know, identifying too deeply with the natal chart, because when we start doing that is we start putting a lot of limitations around ourselves. And oftentimes there's portions of the natal chart that will work at cross purposes to you. So for example, I'm a person that was born with a lot of planets in Libra. I was born with a Libra stellium. And while that has its virtues on some level, there's also a lot of struggles to be a person with a lot of planets in Libra. There are, you know, the shadow sides of Libra, there's excesses to Libra personality. People often refer to the sign as being codependent and people-pleasy, and they can't make decisions and they're wishy-washy and superficial. So there's a lot of negative connotation to Libra energy. And so if you're a person that's born with that type of excess in the chart, you have to learn how to remediate it, meaning balance some of that energy so you don't fall into the ease or the pitfalls of that planetary configuration, and you learn how to be more universal. So working with clients, I'm kind of often thinking about how the wheels itself, you know, having the 12 houses and the 12 signs in every single wheel or in every single chart, it's more like we have to learn how to step into a place of being more multifaceted instead of limited to just what we were born with. So if I have an intense configuration within three signs, then I only have like three faces to my prism lit up, or three facets to my crystal lit up, when technically I want to try to activate all 12 sides and all 12 facets. So it's learning how to exercise the parts of the chart that are quiet or latent, and it's learning how to discipline parts of the chart that are in ease or excessive. And it's also thinking about how certain planets are strong in certain signs, certain planets are afflicted or weak in certain signs. That means they are going to struggle doing their job, and learning these kind of things. And this is a vein or a mode through traditional astrology, where we examine the planets in a way that's called through essential dignities. And, you know, this helps us create a game plan. Well, if I have an afflicted Saturn, then I'm going to have to do a lot of Saturn remediation in order to strengthen that Saturn. So working with you and taking the time to go through each astrological sign as a whole I just want people to understand that this work is about learning how to step in to the energy of the sign and not necessarily, well, I'm not an Aries, so I don't need to listen to the Aries episode. It's more about, I need to learn how to embody some Aries because that's a really good way of me remediating my Libra energy since I have an excess of Libra. So learning how to think of it as exercise in the same way that we exercise the physical body is, you know, we can apply that same concept to exercising our emotional and our spiritual body.
I think this is going to be so helpful because, like you said, they'll have something to exercise and revisit each month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to build on and build towards, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, it's a part of learning how to be all things and that we're not limited. It's like humans are, you know, unique and individual, but at the same time, we have a lot of potential and a lot of parts of ourselves that are they just fall latent because we have such strong parts of ourselves. And it's like learning how to become a little bit more multidimensional and not too just limited in the way that we can express ourselves. And it also really helps to do this type of work because it opens you up to other people who are different than you. So when you think about personality types, it's very hard for certain personality types to identify or relate to their opposition or somebody who's just really different from them. And then we start to kind of once again fall into these negative behaviors where we have to scapegoat people or we end up feeling having negative interactions with people because of that. It's like it's easy for humans to fall into certain patterns and behaviors. And doing this work is a form of keeping yourself very open and learning how to stay very neutral. So then you can kind of be amongst all different types of people and they don't trigger or activate you in any way. You're just able to stay neutral in that space because you've exercised certain aspects of yourself that can then meet them where they are at, if that makes sense.
I love that because you think of, you know, you hear people when they talk about astrology, how some people have an aversion to certain signs. This is a great way to sort of nurture that and understand it because it really is probably a part of something within myself that is wanting to be, like you said, remediated. So why do I have such a strong aversion to XYZ? Well, maybe that's something I need to nurture and look at.
Exactly. And I find it's just, you know, it's like the key to the work when we think about why people come to their spirituality in a way of trying to seek and trying to find answers and learn about themselves on a deeper level. Much of that work is about shedding the identity and shedding the ego and shedding conditioning. And so it's, you know, when you begin to do that, you're always having to put it in check. And so putting yourself around people that are different than you or putting yourself into situations that challenge you, it's, you know, it's a part of the exercise and it's a really good way of developing tools within you that you can then tap into when you're around more challenging personalities, because we all have those challenging personalities within us. We all have Aries personalities within us, or we all have Virgo personalities within us. So it's, you know, sometimes the more difficult personality types, and I'm putting that into air quotations, you know, they challenge us because they're lying latent within us. And so we learn to recognize all the parts of ourselves, and therefore those external forces are no longer feeling so adversarial or feeling so conflicting.
Oh yeah. Like I can even think just to my personal experience and, you know, with like Paul, my husband, he has a lot of, well, he's got that Aries moon, I believe, but his energy, like his drive, his determination, his desire to push boundaries and to do what the F he wants, like that used to trigger me in such a way, but it wasn't about him. It was about me. And so now I lean into those parts of him to help, if you want to say, remediate those parts of myself that I felt limited or I felt small or I felt wasn't courageous. Like he actually inspires me to want to go to those, like those parts of myself that I've ignored or I've sort of suppressed.
Yeah. I mean, it is because it's like having strong Libra placements, which you do with your sun in Libra and Mercury in Libra. It's like, that oppositional force is it can be an antagonizing force. So it's like the opposition to Libra is being Aries. It's like it can feel very antagonistic. But what it's supposed to do is help Libras who struggle with creating very individualistic forms of identity. It's encouraging you to step into that individual power and encourage you to step into the Aries power, which is kind of more sovereign and more independent. And it's supposed to activate you in a way that then you can not feel so antagonized by an Aries individual. So when Aries season comes, people like myself, people like you that have strong Libra placements, it's a really good time to put ourselves into Aries mode. And therefore, you begin to develop that part of yourself, and then you're no longer antagonized by the Aries forces that live amongst you or live amongst us.
I'm excited to lean into these tips and tools and strategies, or even like the what were we saying before, that it could be quite challenging for some of it. I'm excited to see, to use the energy in a way that is different than I have prior when I would tap into my astrology. Because as you know, like I was being called to work with certain planets, but I do love following the sun sign. Because I don't, like you said, I didn't typically do that because I was like, oh, I'm a Libra, or you know what I mean? Like I'm aware of like the moon and all these things, but I love just like really anchoring into and embodying, I guess, the spirit of Pisces.
Yes, right. We all have Pisces. We all have Pisces. And, you know, so I think that people following along, say if they do have Pisces placements, because this is where we're going to start, is in the story of Pisces, they're going to be able to relate to all of this very easily. But the opposition of that being Virgo, the Virgo placements might have a lot of struggle with some of this. And mind you, some people have Virgo placements and Piscean placements, but it's more of that, you know, the people that don't have personal planets in this particular sign, that's actually the sign you really want to pay attention to, is because that's the sign that you're going to need to exercise harder to get to know within yourself. So once again, the people with Piscean placements, they're going to be able to relate to Piscean material very easily. But once it hits Virgo season, all of a sudden it's going to be game on. They got to focus. They got to exercise some detail-oriented work. They have to follow through with some things that maybe make them uncomfortable. And on all of a sudden, you know, you find your pitfalls, or you find your latent sleeping parts of yourself. And that's where you know that you need to do some work, is when you hit that little point of resistance. So hopefully this inspires people to really exercise all parts of themselves. And through this work, you become multifaceted, you begin to develop yourself, and then therefore there's no more oppositional forces coming at you. And it really helps you step into, which is my goal, kind of a form of mastery, to where it's like the astrology is no longer happening to you. It's a tool you are using to drive your life and to help guide you. And it's no longer these forces that are taking place and like knocking you sideways, or, you know, working at you in a hard aspect. And because I have a lot of cardinal in my chart, so therefore, you know, certain fixed signs are going to be a little bit antagonistic to me, so on and so forth. That's just an example, but it's just going to allow you to be more in control and less reactionary to outside external forces that are taking place.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So what are some of the, I guess, ways in which we can, since we are in Pisces, what are some ways in which we can embody the essence or the spirit of Pisces?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's best to start with a little understanding of about what Pisces is and what the attributes of Pisces are, as well as understanding some of the pitfalls of Pisces. For those who have an excess of Pisces in their chart, they're going to need to work on awareness around some of those pitfalls. And then it's really about stepping into the nature of the sign using the five senses. So as human beings, we are influenced through five senses. So with the five senses, we have what we can taste, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can smell, and what we can see. So you always want to think about working within the five senses when you are trying to create influence in your life. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to understand this power of influence, because the greater powers at large are using these exact forms of techniques to influence you. So when you begin to develop the understanding of the power of influence, and you begin to learn how to influence yourself, then you begin to see how the greater forces are trying to influence you. They do it through media advertising, they do it through the news, they do it through colors and how to enchant you and to get you to come in and spend money in their store. So it's used in all forms of marketing and also in all forms of propaganda. And so to develop a deeper understanding of the senses and to develop a deep understanding of how to influence yourself will actually become a tool of protection out mm-hmm. in the world, mm-hmm. which is very beneficial, especially now in this day and age where we are all heavily inundated with a lot is getting thrown at us, you know, through the media, social media, and other forms of propaganda, to where we have to learn how to discern on what is good for us, what we should be listening to in the world, what is helpful. And also we're starting to get the lines blurred between what is real and what is not real, which is very Piscean. You know, it's like Saturn is in Pisces right now. And so there's a lot of themes around, you know, especially in the world of AI, where AI is becoming on the table and it's so good that we're going to have a hard time to discerning between what is real and what is not real. And that's kind of on the table for the future. So these are tools that can be used as a form of protection as well as a form of remediation. So first, let's just talk about the nature of Pisces real quick. You know, it's like thinking about what Pisces lends to us. Pisces is a feminine sign, it is a water sign, and it is a mutable sign in the zodiac. It occupies the universal wheel of the 12th house. So the sign of Pisces is going to correspond with a lot of 12th house themes. So people who have 12th house placements will often identify with a lot of Piscean traits or Piscean qualities for that very reason. I really like to think about mutable signs as they are our ability to learn things. So as a whole, sometimes we can think about the mutable signs together, because it really tells a story about how the human processes information, learns things, does things, gains wisdom through that knowledge, and then learns how to expand on it. So the mutable signs of the zodiac is Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. Now, in the universal wheel, Gemini occupies the third house, Virgo occupies the sixth house, and both of those signs are ruled by the planet Mercury. These two signs and Mercury are really good at contending with information that is, meaning information that is tangible in the world already. So we think about books, we think about podcasts, we think about newspaper, media. That's all, you know, Gemini, Mercury. We think about the details. We think about the processes. We think about refining some of that information and honing in and editing and being very careful and selective about what we consume. That would be Mercury in Virgo. And then we get into the upper echelon of the chart, which is Sagittarius, which on the universal wheel occupies the ninth house. And then we get Pisces that occupies the 12th house. These two signs are ruled by the planet Jupiter. And Jupiter is the planet of expanse. So while Mercury focuses in on what is and what's in existence, Jupiter wants to push beyond what is and expand us as humans out beyond those limitations. And so that's why Sagittarius is this expansive sign, and same with Pisces. So when we think about how we grow and evolve as humans, we're going to always be expanding through the nature of Jupiter. And this is because Jupiter is going to bring forward opportunities for us. And, you know, when we think about the nature of Sagittarius, it's ninth house, it's all about travel, it's all about cultural differences, it's all about exploring the world at large. It's an adventure-seeking sign. So it's much more open to other cultures and the diversity. And so we think about what we learn through those types of travels and through that type of higher education. That's what Sag and Jupiter bring to our chart. And then when we think about the extension of that into Pisces, it starts to get into the more of the softer abstracted realm, meaning that we think about our higher ideals. And this is where spirituality comes in, our relationship to the divine comes in, all of those abstract philosophies start becoming a part of the story and how that expands our nature and develops our soul and develops our spirit. You know, we are here to do work, Mercury, but we're also here to learn and grow ourselves and help propel humans into the future, which is much more of a Jupiterian, concept. So when we think about the mutable signs in terms of a very mundane activity, I like to put it into mundane activities sometimes. It's like if we take the concept of baking a cake, for example, the Gemini, the Mercury and Gemini part of that baking a cake is learning or thinking about gathering all of the information on how to bake cakes. Say we've never baked a cake before. So we're going to get on the internet. We're going to gather recipes. We're going to watch YouTube videos. We're going to consume all of this information about baking cakes. And then we head over into Mercury in Virgo. And Mercury in Virgo is going to be defining out of all of that information, editing that information, and choosing, well, what kind of cake do we want to make? Do we want to make it with these ingredients? Do we want it to be flourless? Do we want it to be gluten-free? Do we want it to have buttermilk frosting? It's like learning how to refine all of the information in order to make very specific decisions. That's the nature of Virgo. Then we move up into the nature of Sagittarius with Jupiter. This is where we actually bake the cake and we learn about the process of making the cake and we gain wisdom through experience. That is the nature of Sag. And then we move into Pisces and we move into this much more expansive realm where, well, how do we build on this concept? How do we then turn it into something else, something other than just a cake? You know, you think about wedding cakes. I don't know why I'm turning this into food, but you think about wedding cakes and sometimes they are like these huge, like beautiful, conceptual, surreal forms of art, and they're a cake. Like somebody sat down and thought after they had gained the wisdom and experience of baking cakes, like how can I turn icing into decorations? You know, how can I turn, you know, this, how can I stack them and do all of these abstract things with them? And that's really the nature of Pisces. So we go through these mutable signs as learning parts of our learning development. And this is what we do over and over and over again. So even if you don't have a Piscean planet, can you see how as your human experience takes you through the transition of learning and gaining wisdom, how you're always thinking about how to build on processes, how to expand on processes, to make them different, to you know, make them more unique, maybe to make them more creative or artistic, or maybe just to make them more functional. You know, it's like we're always building and expanding and creating. And it's very important for us to know that we're all contributing to that. So it's not just Sag people contributing to the wisdom, just like it's not Virgo people that's, you know, contributing to the nature of, you know, refining. And just like it's not just the nature of Gemini people that is contributing to the accumulation of knowledge. It's like we're all these things. And so you can apply this to very mundane activities and analyze it under that scope in order to gain some understanding of what energy it is and what it is that you're tapping into as you're tapping into it.
Wow.
Does that make sense? Like,
it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And I love how you gave that, well, not only the language to it, but the visual. Like I said, I turn things into a very visual experience. And I never really thought about, well, because I'm not familiar with like what you said, like the mutable. And so that was like a wonderful explanation of how it's all working together. Like we need the one thing to create the next thing, to create the next thing. And so again, bringing it back to your wheel, mm-hmm. we're all of it.
Yes.
We're all of it, you know, because I do hear many of my clients and friends say, well, I don't have anything in I don't have anything in Pisces. I don't have anything in Leo. I don't have anything. It's like, no, but we do. We do. We're the whole pie. We're the whole cake.
Well, and it's like every part of the chart, you know, for those who have a general understanding of astrology and the astrological wheel, it's like every 12 slices of the pie has a part of your life. It's basically, you know, it's expanding on a territory of your life. So wherever Pisces falls into your chart, it's governing that portion of your life. And you can get onto the Google and find, you know, the astrological wheel and its definitions. It gives you a very generalized understanding of which part of the life each house governs. And then you can see where Pisces is governing that portion of your life. So it's like thinking about what Pisces does, which is to expand and transcend limitations in a way of it's trying to build off of what is. And it does that by expanding in your minds and imaginations. And it taps into your creative impulses or your creative concepts to where it's like, how can I build off of this? And how can I create something other than or something different? And you can see that in that area of your chart and in that area of your life. So to gain deeper understandings of how these signs work will oftentimes help you develop that portion of your chart in a more constructive and also just gaining deeper awareness in it. Because the one thing about Pisces, it's not a grounded sign. It doesn't have elements of structure to it. So oftentimes the Piscean portion of the chart is a bit abstract and elusive to people, and they have a hard time understanding that portion of themselves. Just like people have a hard time understanding the portions of the 12th house, which is the universal Piscean house. So it's, you know, once again, it's like working this, exercising this is going to help people gain just a deeper understanding of how to work with that energy so it's constructive and it's not just slipping through your fingers or it's not just running away and you don't have, you know, you don't have solid footing there. I mean, sometimes people have Pisces that rules their second house, which has to do with their financial situation or their money or how they acquire resources. And oftentimes people who have Pisces ruling the second house will struggle with that for that very reason. Like money just sort of slips through their fingers. They have a hard time managing it in a way because it doesn't feel like real to them or it doesn't feel tangible and solid to them. So you have to exercise that muscle and you have to exercise your relationship with that house in order to hopefully create more boundaries and create a little bit more structure there.
Yeah, I was just even thinking about, because I have that, you know, the Saturn in the 12th house, and then I find that I'm so in that watery Pisces energy in a lot of my life. And then I'm like trying to rebuild structures in my life because I was so structured as a child. I had a lot of that like military structure and I sort of let that go when I was doing my spiritual work. And now I'm calling it back in.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. I actually need the structure. I need to work with that energy where before I was sort of rebelling in it in a way because I was so structured in my life. That when I started doing this work, which was very watery and I'm very airy, and I was like, wee, I don't need to launch that today. I'll launch it next week. Wee.
Yeah. No, it's very, right? It's a thing, and trying to stay focused and balanced and centered. Cause that's, you know, that's another thing is to think about the wheel and putting yourself in the very center of the wheel and learning how to hold tension to all 12 houses. Like you're holding that tension. You're not falling deep into one side or deep into the other side. You're staying right in the center. And that's really about that circles back to the whole concept of mastery. I call it kung fu. Like it's just like learning how to be in control in all aspects of your life. And to me, that's part of this work. And it's the goal. You know, I don't want to be an excessive Libra person, or I have personally a Jupiter in Pisces, and I can get really heady and daydreamy, and I can lose my footing in the real world very easily. So it's, you know, I have to exercise that Jupiter in Pisces because it's really big. And even though it's creative and it's beneficial in a lot of ways in my work, it's also can become the kite that just continues, or the helium balloon that just continues to float off into the ether and it doesn't ever, you know, touch ground. So learning how to balance, that's the key to this work. And it's like, even talking about Pisces, it's hard to wrangle.
Yeah.
It's hard to wrangle it, even just having a conversation about it, because it just wants to lead you into other places. But,
and I do love how you just, I mean, that like it hit me right in my body when you said like anchoring in the center of your wheel, because I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good point to remember. Like, yeah. I'm definitely going to tap into that, because I've always been sort of dancing around the wheel. I've never really thought of being in the center of it and to hold that line.
Be in the center of the wheel. That's the key. That's where you are supposed to be at. And everything is supposed to happen. It's like when the Buddhists talk about attachments, and in the healing communities, people talk a lot about attachments and how we attach ourselves to things. And this comes through identity. This comes through, you know, physical attachments, material attachments, relationship attachments. It's like humans have this, I don't know if it is if it comes from fear, or if it comes from just being pretty underdeveloped, because I feel like humans over the recent, you know, generations have become stunted in some ways. We've kind of lost some of our abilities to tap into different aspects of ourselves. And I think that humans are reawakening to some of these talents and these gifts and these hidden aspects of ourselves. And people are trying to reconnect to the old ways, their ancestral ways. And, you know, people are trying to redevelop. And through that work, it's like you have to learn how to not adhere to attachments, and because that is going to create a limitation, because you're adhering to a paradigm and you end up falling into the conditioning of that attachment and you end up getting led astray. I really had this awareness not that long ago about how life is just a series of disillusionment, and disillusionment is a huge thing with Pisces, because oftentimes people with major Pisces placements, they put the rose-colored glasses on and they have a hard time seeing things very clearly. And so they get led astray very easily. They kind of follow the rainbow, or they follow the, you know, looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And they get led into, you know, they get led into places where they get lost. And so it's very hard to be disillusioned. Like anyone who's ever gone through that process, when they wake up and realize that somebody has misled them, or they've been taken advantage of, or somebody had lied to them, it's that weird, deep, deep pain. And it's so frightening, and it causes a lot of fear, that I think that people end up adhering to paradigms because they don't want to open themselves up to being disillusioned by things. So trying to keep yourself from attaching to these identities or attaching to certain paradigms means that no one will have the power to lead you astray or to make you disillusioned anymore. Because it's like, this is the nature of our realities. We're always looking around externally for the truth and for answers. And it's part of the human condition. And oftentimes you'll be led down a path that you think that you're being led in the right direction, and all of a sudden something will take place and you'll be disillusioned through that path, and you'll be realize that you've made the wrong mistake for yourself, and you have to redirect and you have to go in a different direction. It's very hard. It's, you know, that's the kind of work that's very hard. But I do think that that is the process of this human experience, is learning how to cultivate these things, or learning how to cultivate this sovereignty within yourself, to where you are no longer seeking external forces to guide you. You are within yourself. You know the way within.
Mm. Yeah. I was just meeting with the women. I have a small group of women that I work with on a weekly basis. And this was the conversation that we were having last week. Many of them were sort of feeling that, mm-hmm. You know, would I say that lost in the energy. They didn't understand what they were feeling. Everything about what I teach in my mentorships is about being in your sovereign energy and being able to discern that by being in your energy and learning what your energy feels like, so that when that stuff comes in, it's like, oh, that's actually not that's not from myself. That's from maybe my husband, or conversation that I had, or something that I watched yesterday. But it's interesting, because, you know, feeling the energy, for me, Pisces season is always very, well, let me just say, it's very psychic, right? Like my dream worlds are very like I feel like I don't sleep well during Pisces season because my dreams are just all over the place. They're just wild and imaginative and creative. And then also when I'm in my waking world, I'm being bombarded by the world of spirit where I normally have those boundaries. You know, I normally have good boundaries with the world of spirit, but during Pisces season, it's just like, whoa, I feel everything. I'm aware of everything. And so it's interesting to see, like, I know what it is and I know how to ground my way through it. But when I'm talking to women who are maybe new to this experience and do this work, they just feel like the fish, right? That are just swirling, sort of lost in the energy, right?
Yeah. Exactly, for sure. And it's a whole thing. Like, it's an exercise of mindfulness and it's an exercise of knowing thyself, you know, to know mm-hmm. thyself and be able to discern the difference between external forces and the forces from within is, you know, it's going to always help be your guiding light and your compass so you don't get led astray. It's very easy to get led astray, especially in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm. And so what types of exercises or tools or rituals do you lean into when you want to work with the Piscean energy?
Well, it's like starting with one of the biggest influences for me personally is sound. So for me, it's like as a person who has to step into the energy of various astrological signs and various planets for the purpose of astrological magic and also astrological remediation, I find that in order to tune myself to the nature of that planet or sign, I begin with my altar space in which I work. It's like when you think about humans decorating for the holidays, it's all about to set the mood. Or mm-hmm. if you're decorating for a party of some sort, a celebration, and how you pull in colors, people will always start with the theme. That's very Piscean to start with the theme and like imagine what things will look like. So this is where you begin to step into the nature of this work. It's like, instead of just waiting for holidays to decorate, you should think about how you can work with the cycles and the seasons and the sun transiting through these signs and decorate in accordance to the energy of that sign. So it begins with my altar space. It begins with my workspace. I start pulling in colors. I start pulling in flowers. I start pulling in plants that I will be working with for that particular magic. But I find that music is one of the strongest influences for me. I can listen to any kind of music and it can put me immediately into that frequency. So I began to put together playlists that align with the astrological months. I'm working on compiling a Piscean playlist right now that I've got some of my Pisces clients that have contributed songs to it. And it's been really fun to pull the music together. And hopefully when this releases, I have it available on Spotify for everyone to download. But it's like stepping into the sound of Pisces. We're thinking about, you know, a certain frequency of certain higher vibrational states. It's like getting out of the root and kind of getting into more of a heady space. So you're thinking about music that's pulling you into the higher octaves, that's pulling you into a much more transcendental or like an altered state of consciousness, and how some music can captivate you in that way and pull you out of your body. So it's like, you know, the sounds of flutes, higher, you know, higher instruments, even certain types of the octaves of certain singers or voices will kind of pull you into those higher states. But it's also like thinking about, like, for example, you know, alternative, like kind of dance music or like alternative electronica, things that get really abstract because Piscean influence can be extremely abstract in nature. So it's like getting a little weird, getting a little Bjorkish, getting a little out there. It's like you can kind of pull yourself into these very transcendental states just by listening to music that activates that. If anyone has ever, you know, worked with like psychotropic or psychoactive plants, you know, it's that altered state of consciousness and thinking about the music that would coincide with those types of mental states. Same with dream states or lucid dreaming. Meditation is a very Piscean concept. It's like learning how to sit still and to be inside of the mindscape or inside of the dreamscape. So what sounds help put you into that space? That's all Piscean influence. And I find that music is one of the best activators of an influence ever, sounds and music. So start there. And then also think about decorating your space and pulling in colors that are associated with that sign, associated with the nature that you want to tap into. I think about pastels a lot with Pisces. I think about it's like the higher octave of everything. So like a royal color being so bright and so intense, it's like the muted, like if you were to put a layer of like sheer gauzy material over a color and how it obscures and softens it. It's like the soft focus lens. So it's like thinking about bringing those elements into your space and softening everything. And that's going to make you feel softer. And you can do this into your bedroom. You know, if you want to have a more Piscean sleep experience, you can bring these elements into the bedroom. Pisces rules water. You can bring water elements into that space and kind of help bring these very calm womb-like experiences. One of the things that I'm working with magically is the egg, which is an interesting Piscean concept because it introduces where life begins. When we think about, I'm working with like a big ostrich egg on my altar. And when we think about the creation of life and how it starts within the egg, and then all of a sudden that egg cracks open and life bursts forth, that's really the nature of Aries season, that's springing forward and taking action. So it's that womb space or that time inside of the womb prior to being born and kind of taking action that, you know, Pisces is sort of known for. So it's that cocoon. We think about the metaphor, the metamorphosis of the butterfly and that cocooning that takes place before the butterfly erupts open and takes flight. So this is how Pisces builds into Aries. It's through that butterfly metaphor or the egg metaphor.
Wow. I love that. I love that. I never heard that before.
Yeah.
It's visual.
It's like that. It's how do ideas incubate? Like how does knowledge incubate? How do your plans incubate? So it's like thinking about the concept of incubation and how sometimes we have to sit with things and simmer on them and let them develop inside of our mind's eye before we know exactly how to put them into action. So if you're having collaborations or brainstorming or think tanks where people are just sort of they kind of like hole up and they're in a think tank type of atmosphere where they're just together. It's like a little nest. It's like a little womb. It's like an egg that everyone's sort of brainstorming and bouncing off all these ideas and how through that process, it opens up the imagination and it opens up possibilities. And of course, not all of those ideas and possibilities are going to be what turns into the actual creation or turns into the actual form, but that's where the inspiration lives. We have to kind of have those moments where we can just riff ideas and not have to worry about structures and just be able to expand and philosophize and think about what ifs and just brainstorm all of the crazy possibilities in order to then hone in on what is actually the thing that you want to carry forward through that initiation, through the gate of Aries season.
Which is again, another reminder that we're always building towards the next sign.
Yes.
Like we're always building towards the next sign. Cause that's something I have to remind myself too, where it's like, oh, wait a second. This is useful for me to be in this space. And I love that you were just sharing about the music and the meditation and the altar and like all these things. Cause I sort of dropped into that intuitively. I said, okay, what is it that I'm being asked to lean into? I heard, you know, obviously the meditation and things, and I downloaded some meditations with this teacher Shaman Durek, who I really love, and he's got this very scorpionic and Piscean energy, and all of his meditations are with like this sort of it's not like this typical like, you know, which I love, but it's been so beneficial for me during this time, and I've just been really devoted and dedicated to my meditation practice in a way that I haven't been in the months before. I've been like, no, I want, I've like been taking, like, even if they're like little 5-minute meditations or 7-minute meditations, I've been doing them throughout the day when I feel called to. And I just recorded an episode yesterday with all that dead air that we talked about and recorded it into my phone. And it was, I felt inspired to share about creating that devotional space and that seat. And, you know, in the world of mediumship, we call it, you know, building the power in your space. But it was really about creating, like you said, that altar, or that devotional space where you can come and arrive and sort of be in that essence of, you know, with spirit or your higher self and in that receiving mode.
Yes, we have to create external realities in order to influence our internal realities. Mm-hmm. And this is a part of the work. And for those of us who struggle with certain parts of ourselves or struggle with certain initiatives, it's like creating a strong Aries space, you know, it's like, and you'll feel the difference. It's like moving from Pisces, where you're listening to music that may be more tranquility or effervescent, and having colors and physical representations that are quieter or sweeter or more feminine, and then stepping into a very strong, formidable, fiery, masculine energy. It's going to be like this big, you know, drop, snap, kind of boom, bang. And then you are listening in, you are in a much different frequency, and you begin to attune yourself. Like, you can have these very physical feelings of how these influences will manifest and how they will alter you. That's the other part of this work, is that you will see how that influence takes place within yourself, to where it's like you start to recognize, wow. And maybe this happens unconsciously. Like, if you're around a bunch of, maybe, I don't know, like just being around a bunch of people who are different than you, how all of a sudden you kind of, you either have an adversarial response to them, to where it's like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to be around this. I can't get away fast enough. Or you begin to actually be influenced by them and you start behaving in that way mm-hmm. yourself. Like, if you know, it's like when people will talk about it, like when women get together, they all start like, you know, clucking, like hens or something. It's like how influence, that's the influence that takes place amongst people. It's like we have this power over each other. And, you know, when it's unconscious, then therefore you're not in control. So when you begin to learn how these influences are active and you begin to learn how to initiate these influences yourself, then you are no longer as vulnerable to the external influences that are around you. So yes, just constantly building off of the external influences to create internal influence. So we talked about, you know, creating a space like the devotional space that you spoke about, the altar, or just, you know, your home in general. You could do it in a part of your home in general, and also to influence the sounds with music and with what you're surrounding yourself with in terms of, you know, the frequencies and the rhythms and the vibrations. And then you can step into things like taste and smell and touch. So these are other sensory parts of ourselves that we can use to influence. So it's like thinking about how Pisces translates to food. I find that people are really funny about their food. Like, think about how resistant people are to certain foods. I mean, have you ever thought about that? Like, how people will be like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like onions. Like, or I don't like.
I have a friend who is like,
what I mean?
Like, I can't stand mayonnaise. I'm like, it's just eggs and oil. Like, how could you not stand mayonnaise? It's eggs and oil. You like eggs and oil.
It's so funny how people will create these strong boundaries around the food that they think that they like or that they don't like. You see it especially with kids. It's like they form these very strict rules about food. And so it's, you know, it's the same thing. It's like learning how to open yourself up to different kinds of food. And, you know, it's not that like Pisces rules certain food groups, but you could just think about, you know, maybe under Pisces influence, and it's all about expanding past limitations or past what we're comfortable with or what we perceive as our comfort zone. It's like maybe just trying new food, mm-hmm. trying a new restaurant, maybe ordering something that you would never order, and really allowing yourself to be more open to the possibility of the things that you don't know yet, mm-hmm. or that you're not comfortable with. I mean, or even you could take it one step further and have your husband order food for you from a restaurant. Like if Paul could order something for you from a restaurant, what would he like, pull you out of your comfort zone, or would
1000%, he would order Indian food with lots of spices, lots of, and I'm so, I don't want to say sensitive, but like to, if there's a lot happening in my sphere, like if there's a lot of sound and there's a lot of smells and there's a lot of, I get overstimulated. Yes. And I do love Indian food, but I can't do a lot of it. And he would come home. If he had his way, he would come home with everything on the menu. And I just like, I can't, it's the sensory overload, but he's a Pisces.
Yes. But that's that kind of the thing. It's like, you can use that. You can use that when you're needing to step out of your comfort zone, how you can tap into the nature of food to kind of help pull you out of some of those resistances, mm-hmm. or some of those fears. Even I think a lot of people are kind of afraid of trying new things because they're afraid they won't like it. And then they talk themselves out of taking the risk on that one restaurant or that one dish because they're afraid they won't like it and it'll be some type of waste. But staying open to the possibility of new things and pushing yourself outside of your comfort zones, it's going to lead you to new places, and it's going to help, once again, push up against those self-imposed restrictions and rules that we place around ourselves.
I have a question. What would be like some sort of body movement? Would it be like dance? For Pisces?
Definitely dance, but think about like fluid, abstract.
Yeah.
No, it's like, what do they do that, I know this is kind of a thing for people. It's called something.
Static? Static dance?
Is it?
I think headphones on and they just kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just allowing yourself to move with the flow and kind of be in that. There's a term for it that
I think it's static dance. I'm pretty sure it is. It's where you literally people are just,
Yes. Fall into the trance of movement. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like anything that has to do with fluid, with that kind of the nature of fluidity of Pisces being water and being very light and ethereal, light movements. I think, if it could be a dance type, it would be ballet, the nature of ballet with the, the lengthening and the colors and the femininity.
How people will use those silks and they spin and they, I'm really excited about this because I can see how it's like, why not like use the energy of each sun sign to like really tap into those parts and just do things that you wouldn't normally do and sort of challenge yourself. I'm liking this. I think this is going to be a good exercise.
It'll be, I just feel like because we're under such Piscean influence right now, I mean, even trying to put it into words and context, it's going to become more clear as more signs of, we get deeper into more of the 12 signs of the zodiac, but it's just being mindful, following the sun 30 days within each sign, average 30 days within each sign. And to understand that there's always a buildup of planets that take place, particularly on the new moons in each sign, because that's when both luminaries are sharing space there. And we are kind of under the depths of that influence even more so. And so if you couldn't practice these things throughout the entire month, you could be more notable about them around the new moon and maybe just honor it on that new moon and kind of set time aside for yourself to do that thing differently or to try this new restaurant or to put on the pretty fluffy pink dress. that kind of the outfit that Piscean soft, it could even be like, some really enjoyable pajamas too. You know what I mean? It's just like kind of really taking it into that, the physical form to where you can touch it and feel it in your hands and feel it on your skin and have it in your environment and how that creates the influence.
Do you think we should maybe share some of the like the shadowy or more of the influence maybe we want to steer clear from during Pisces season, like the escapism or no?
Very much so, because this is a huge struggle with, for a lot of people who have strong Piscean placements. And this includes myself too, because I've got that Jupiter in Pisces. Mm-hmm. So some of the shadow aspects in Pisces have to do with where the abstract and being in the mind can pull you into places of illusion. Like I said, the rose-colored glasses, how you're led astray by people, or how you're misled or misguided, because like all you want to see is the potential in other people and all you want to see is the good. So it's like you can easily fall into the pitfalls of disillusionment through the nature of Pisces. So you have to try to exercise discernment through Pisces season in order to prevent yourself from going into the excess. And so this is going to be more applicable to people who have strong Piscean placements. So it's like they already have Piscean placements in the natal chart. And now externally in the skies, we have heavy Piscean energy. So it's like this double Pisces. So you want to make sure that you're almost remediating some of the Pisces influence through the nature of Virgo or through the nature of Capricorn or something very earth and grounding to help protect yourself through some of the heavy Piscean influences. And also escapism is a huge shadow of Pisces. Martyrdom is also a huge shadow of Pisces. In the terms of escapism, this is just, you know, people who tend to fall into the pitfalls of not wanting to deal with the real world or how the constructs of the world works, you know, following the rules or doing what needs to be done and being responsible with your duties and taking care of yourself. Like there's this propensity of putting everything on the back burner or just avoiding and like not wanting to look at what needs to be done and instead wanting to do with what feels good or what feels the most Piscean. And that can turn into escapism. So a lot of times people that have the shadow side of Pisces in their chart, like Kurt Cobain is what's standing out in my mind right now. Oh, yeah. He was this notoriously famous Pisces because, of course, his suicide letter, he described himself as a sad little Pisces. And I believe that he had like a four planet stellium in Pisces.
I think it was a stellium. Yeah.
And also to kind of take it further, he had, I think all of his planets were in water. So he had this huge grand water trine. He was all water, no earth. And so it's just very hard to stay grounded in the reality, very hard to deal with, you know, the way that the systems of our culture work and how it can swallow you into avoidant behavior or escapist behavior. And ultimately it can just start working against you and start working towards your detriment. So that is the shadow of Pisces, is the escapism and not being able to, you know, not being able to carry through with more of our, you know, mundane or more practical, the practical parts of our lives and how we have to take care of ourselves in certain ways and how we have to take care of chores and take care of our responsibilities. And that require us to show up and be clear and be present. Pisces can be very avoidant of those things and want to stay in the cocoon or to stay in the egg. So you got to make sure that if you are, you know, entering into Pisces season with a lot of Piscean influence, you will not want to expand on that Piscean influence. If anything, you're going to want to kind of remediate it with some Virgo influence. And as we kind of go through this entire zodiac process, you'll learn tools through each sign to apply to help remediate and to help balance some of those more captivating forces that can carry us away.
This is going to be so incredible. I think this is going to be so useful for so many people, especially those who are maybe not so familiar with that much of astrology. I think this is a good way to get familiar with, like you said, each sun sign and how that builds on the next one and how we can sort of move through it in a place, in a way that feels expansive and expressive versus like, again, we've talked about this before. A lot of people that I talk to, they talk about astrology as being detrimental. Like they, oh, it's just so hard. And I'm like, no. Like, let's try to reframe that. Let's try to like restructure how we look at it. And I love, love, love how you said how we want to be in the center of the chart. I'm going to definitely like sink into that. I'm going to meditate on that one too. Cause again, I've never heard that before. And I just felt that anchoring in my body when you said it. I'm like, yeah, it is so true. I've been navigating the 12th house and hanging out there. I've been navigating the second house and hanging out there. I've been navigating. And it's like, oh, wait a second. What if I looked at it from the center? What if I looked at it from the middle, from the center of my being, instead of being so focused on just this one area? Almost like that blinders, the blinders that are on, which can happen, as you know, when we get onto Instagram and we're hearing, you know, so many of these astrologers and they're sharing their wisdom and their experience. And I have to watch myself. I have to catch myself. I don't know if it's a part of my chart. I don't know what it is, but I will click on someone's Instagram and they'll say something. And then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, I feel that. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't feel that. What am I doing? Like, no, I don't feel that. Like, but you know, for a moment, I'll catch myself dipping in and I have to remind myself, no, they're sharing from their lens of experience in this moment. This is not my journey. Like I'm not actually feeling XYZ in this moment. Pause, take a deep breath.
That's also the power of influence too. It's yes, like exactly. The power of influence and being influenced by people and being influenced by what they're exuding and how we take that on sometimes subconsciously or unconsciously, but those are the boundaries. It's what I talked a lot about through Aquarius season, because that's what Aquarius gives us, is the ability to create boundaries and protect our mind and protect, to be able to discern between what is real and what is not real, and how we can learn how to differentiate between what we want to take on or what somebody's projecting onto us versus what is our truth and what we should be examining or allowing to influence us. And that's the nature of Aquarius, but Pisces lacks those boundaries. So you have to, once again, be very careful to not allow negative influences into your field. But at the same time, if you are a person who struggles with, you know, maybe some fixidity or rigidity, or has a hard time letting go of control, Pisces is going to be the energy that's going to help you soften, is going to help you expand past your limitations, is going to help get you and encourage you to try new things, and how it can be a positive influence for people who struggle with letting go of, you know, their firm beliefs or their grip on their structure, on their environments. You know, we have all different types of personalities in this world, and everyone has their thing that's either working on their behalf or is working against them in some way, shape, or form. And this is a part of learning how to recognize who you are as an individual, get to know yourself, and also to, you know, begin to let go of some of those fears and some of those limitations that we've created around ourselves.
Oh yeah. That hits home for me 1000%. Cause that was me my whole life, you know? And then once I leaned into that 12th house Pisces energy, like that control piece for me was so rigid. I mean, I was so tight in my body for most of my life, like the first 40 years of my life. And then when I stepped into my spiritual work and my self-development and leaning into my intuition, wanting to like be, you know, my own psychic, like all of those things, it was like, Oh, and then here's my husband who is a Pisces who shows me those parts of himself. And I'm like, oh, right. And so again, it's just like, I feel like I found, I guess, who I really am aside from the control and this things that the fear that was sort of, I was raised around, you know? And so I love that. I think that it's this is going to be such a good one to listen back to again and again, especially since we have a couple more weeks, right? What are we on the 4th? We have a couple more weeks before we move into Aries season. And I can't wait to share this even with the girls that are, leading mentorships with, because they've been asking so much about what is happening? Why am I feeling this way? And I'm like, ground, you got to get in your bed. You know, it's like these things, it's like, we know, you and I know what we can do, the tools, but I think for like someone who's new to this work, they can sort of feel like they're getting lost in the energy. And this is going to be an amazing tool to go, no, let's take our power back.
And it's easy to get lost under these skies. It's like, it's you can see it all across the board. It's like when you're in Pisces season, you just have to let go a little bit, because things get a little nebulous and a little, you know, things start wanting to move around and you have to be flexible. Yeah. be too fixed in it. But at the same time, you want to try to maintain as much clarity through it as possible. But if you're using this energy for creative work, Pisces season is amazing for creative concepts and building on creative ideas or creative endeavors. And a lot of people will come to me and say things like, well, I'm not creative. And once again, everyone has Pisces in their chart. Everyone has creative signs inside of their chart. It's just learning how to tap into them. So using the Piscean tools of the taste, smell, hear, and see and touch, you can begin to stimulate parts of yourself that are going to be more open to the creative concepts and hopefully, you know, inspire you in some creative ways. I think people have too many, you know, fixed ideas of what creativity is. Mm-hmm. And really, creativity is just about resourcefulness. And it's about, once again, expanding off of something. So mm-hmm. it's like, how do I take this one thing and build off of it and turn it maybe into something else? I find like cooking is such a way that you can really, because everyone has to cook, right? Everyone has to prepare food for themselves. So cooking is a really interesting way to develop creativity. You know, it's like learning how to work with different spices in the food or different seasonings in the food, or learning how to shift food from one thing and moving it into something else. You know, it's like morphing leftovers or reinventing what you have, or pulling, just kind of opening up the kitchen cupboard and seeing what you have and trying to make something out of just those ingredients. Like, you can create a lot of fun, interactive challenges just by working with, in the nature of cooking, but it can happen with how you're dressing yourself that day, or the flowers that you're choosing at the market, or all of these choices, the cologne that you're going to put on that day, or the way that you're going to style your hair. It's just like thinking about the nature of doing something a little different and pushing yourself outside of your limitations and comfort zones in order to inspire a different feeling or a different emotive quality, and therefore awaken parts of yourself that might've been sleeping. So they're just conscious actions that ultimately build into bigger actions that ultimately then turn you into, that open up parts of yourself that you didn't quite realize at the beginning of the work even existed. Like, you'll surprise yourself through this exercise.
And it puts us in that, into that passive and receptive mode of receiving inspiration, like you said, from your higher self. And I was just with a client before we got on, and her grandmother in spirit was showing me this infinity sign of how her mother's creative, her daughter's creative, and the ways in which they are creative. And she was like, oh my gosh, yes, I haven't done that since I was young. And I was like, oh, well, why not tap into those parts of yourself so that you can be in a state of being passive and open and imaginative and being in alignment with your intuition? And it's like, it's, I think sometimes we think that like, we like, oh, I'm going to draw this picture, but it has to be perfect. But it's like, oh no, maybe you just need to get out of the way so that you can be in receiving mode. It's true.
And I loved how you created that figure eight, because it's so, that is so Pisces.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Movement.
I didn't even realize I was doing it when I was talking to her, because we were on Zoom, and I was like, your grandmother keeps saying, and I was doing this in my hand. She goes, you're building the infinity sign. That's what I do with my, that's a symbol that she uses with. And I was like, oh, that's been great. But it is, it's so true. It is this flow of giving and receiving that is really incredible. And yeah, so I'm excited. I'm thinking about all the things that we just talked about and how I can implement them into the remainder of this, you know, this season before we move into Aries. And I love that. I just feel like I'm getting all these like little, you know, inspirations even within the gaps in our conversation. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so fun. I'm going to go try one of those silk things. Like, I keep seeing myself in these silks and I'm like, I want to try it.
Well, and it's like, I think a lot of people have like, you know, if they have, especially living in California, there's so many resources available to you. It's like, I've been seeing people doing that like trapeze exercise, like they're hanging from scarves and they're like doing
all that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I feel like that also for me, it's very much linked to my ancestry on my mom's side. They were circus. My mom did trapeze and the tightrope. And I'm like, oh, that'd be a safe way for me to explore that energy. Yeah. But I don't know. There's something about the silk wraps. I can feel them around my energy in this moment. I'm like, oh, it's like, it is, feels like a little bit of like a cocoon, but also being able to sort of float and play. And I don't know, I'm going to try it. I'm going to find a place that does it.
That fluid, the water and the fish. It's like, when you think about watching, you know, fish, if anyone ever has had an aquarium and watching the movement and how captivating and hypnotic it is.
Yeah.
And it's just, that is literally the influence of Pisces, is just that hypnotic. And it's such a different dimension when we think about the ocean and water and the beings that live inside of water, how different they are than us. It's such a good mirroring of just like a different life form and how they move and the fluidity of it. It's like, it's, that's should be what inspires whatever comes out of this particular work for you, is just watching those fish and watching that aquarium and gaining that inspiration of it and letting it take you where it's going to take you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really excited.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. And I look forward to kind of exploring how these things evolve into each other. And I encourage everybody just to create a little, I don't know if people journal or if people are in their meditation practice, but just to begin to build, just kind of jotting down some ideas and begin to build some structure around these concepts. So then they can begin introducing them into their environment. And it can be just subtly, it can be monumentally, it can be in any which way form that you want to begin tapping into it. But just, I encourage you all to explore and to be open to expanding these parts of yourself.
Absolutely. And also let us know how these tools and tips are working for you, especially since we're going to be building into the next month, and we can sort of kind of track, any of the influences or any of the changes that have been sort of happening in people's sphere just by implementing some of this, if we want to say work or tools or exercises or structures around working with the planets. And I think it's going to be really fun, which I think it should be, right? Like some of the seriousness out of the spiritual work and like return back to the child and be playful and creative and how it can be expansive and not so dense.
Yeah. And just, allow it to be exactly what you said, just to be more playful with it and don't think about, don't think about it as happening to you. Think about it. So you're taking the initiative to make it happen within yourself. And it just puts a lot more control in your own life. And it sort of takes you out of the passenger seat and puts you into the driver's seat, which is the key to the work.
Absolutely. Well, do you want to share with everyone how we can get in touch with you, how we can work with you? I'm going to put everything in the show notes, but I'd love for you to share.
Sure. My name is Kristen Erlacher, and you can find me at my website, which is kristenerlacher.com. And you can also find me on Instagram. I've got my creative page there, which you can find under my name. And then I also have my private page, which is for my patrons and clients at KU Astro Magic. But I look forward to connecting, and I also look forward to people sharing their ideas. And I'll be having dialogue about it on my Instagram pages. And yes, I look forward to connecting and seeing how the work builds and how it inspires.
Absolutely. And I just remembered, like on Spotify, if you're a Spotify listener, there's an option for you to share your voice or to share any questions or comments that you have about the episode. I think this would be a wonderful way to just keep in touch too and track with people. And if someone sends in, some sort of voice question or voice recording, we can always tap into it. In a couple weeks,
it'll be like a monthly installation.
Yeah. So we're going to gather together and we'll see you guys for Aries season. But thank you guys so much for participating and for supporting. And we love you and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I look forward to hearing from you. Please share your comments with me on Instagram at @peoplecallmejess. Your continued support means the world to me. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Plus, share this episode with a friend or loved one that you feel would benefit from today's conversation. Thank you for listening.